Blog Talk Radio.
Enough of that. And here we are, after 2 years, Tim Gatto, unedited and uncut, is back. And I got a lot to say. First of all, if you don't know who I am, you probably don't. And probably, this is the first show, so I don't think there's too many people out there listening. But I used to have a show, and I had a lot of famous guests. And it was pretty popular, and for some reason or another, like having four strokes, I stopped broadcasting. But now I'm kind of recovered, and I'm back, and I'm going to make this a staple. You see, I write, and I write for op-ed news and countercurrents, People's Voice, and a few other alternative media websites and aggressive websites. But don't let that throw you off. I'll take calls and, you know, I'll listen to opinions from anybody, left, right, doesn't matter. I don't believe in separating people by putting a label on them. We're all people. We're not liberal. We're not conservative. We're all human beings. So some of us are liberal in some ways, and some of us are conservative in some ways. You know, it doesn't matter. It's that, you know, on some things we have conservative views, on some liberal views. It all depends on how you were brought up and what kind of culture you come from. So I like to listen to everybody. In fact, one reason I'm doing the show is because I'm sick of writing on progressive websites, because I feel like I'm just preaching to the choir. And I'd rather talk to people that aren't familiar with what I believe in and let them see a different side of the world. And meanwhile, I like to talk to people who might call in and let me see their particular views on a subject. So right now, we're in a pretty bad position with the way everything's going. Donald Trump's presidency seems to be falling apart, and the latest poll says that he's only got 32% support, and that means to 68% don't like him. So that's a pretty telling statistic. But anyway, he's been caught in lots of different shuffles where he says one thing and then 5 minutes later he says another thing and the two things don't jive. And now this book came out and now they have that op-ed from New York Times saying one of his insiders is part of the resistance. And Amoruso's book, all of this, Cohen going to jail, pleading guilty, and Manafort going to jail, and all these people that are being indicted and pleading guilty and cooperating with the Mueller investigation, I'm sure it's got him unhinged. If he wasn't unhinged anyway when he started up. So that's the way it goes. You know, and everything, if you watch YouTube or you watch the mainstream news, I don't watch the mainstream news. I just get clips from YouTube once in a while, from CNN, MSNBC. But I just get little clips. I can't stand watching the commercials and watching them lie through their teeth. I listen to alternative websites and podcasts and things like that. Joe Rogan, Jimmy Dore, sometimes the Young Turks, even though they get on my nerves. And Tom Hartman, Democracy Now. A bunch of different places I get my news from. Then I got, every morning, me and my wife sit down and we watch Reuters. So basically, we get our news and we know what's going on, but I really can't stand the mainstream media. So anyway, the calling number is 516-453-9450. That's 516-453-9450. And I got a caller right now. And, okay, hold on. I haven't done that. So I'm trying to get it done here. Okay, let's see. Okay, caller, you're live. Hello, you're live.
Yeah, I'm live. What is this, Tim Vigata?
Yes, it is.
Is this the same Tim Gatto that used to be on a few years ago?
Yes, it is. I think the show used to be called, it was in last couple of years, it was Tim Gatto, Unedited and Uncut. Yep, sure is.
What are you going to talk about tonight?
I'm going to talk about this thing with the International Criminal Court and John Bolton and what it is and how we got involved and what's going to or what could happen. And we're going to talk about that for a little while. Are you interested?
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't you just sit back and listen to the show and maybe you'll learn all about the International Criminal Court in The Hague and why the United States is a little upset about it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for calling, caller.
Okay, yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Okay. You can stay in the line or you can listen through your computer, whatever you'd like to do.
Okay.
Are you going to stay
No, I think I'm going to hang up.
Okay, you're going to listen through your computer? Okay, well, call in anytime you want to. And where are you from?
Okay, thank you.
Where are you from?
Philadelphia?
Okay, so yeah. We have somebody from Philly. That's great. Okay, Philly. Just call in. If you call in again in this show, you can. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that's we're off to a rousing start. That was our first caller. And I'm excited because I've just been, it's been 2.5 years since I've been on the air and all of a sudden I already got a caller. So that's good. I love callers. And the guest caller number is 516-453-9450. Okay. You know, like I said, I've written about 700 articles. I've written 2 books. I've written Complicity to Contempt, which is a book of essays. And I wrote a novel called Kimchi Days for Stone Cold Warriors, which is in the early 70s. So you can imagine what that book is about, but about the army in Korea in the early 70s. It's a hoot. It's on Amazon if you want to buy it. So is Complicity to Contempt. And I'll put that on my bio here on Blog Talk Radio. Maybe I can sell some books. Okay. Now, what we were going to talk about is we're going to talk about this stuff that's going on in The Hague. Okay. And what's going on in The Hague is the International Criminal Court. And it's not complicated. Okay, the International Criminal Court was made in 1998, and it was called the Statute of Rome, I think it was called. And what it was, it basically formed the International Criminal Court, which is supposed to go after war criminals that torture people or commit genocide or basically are bad guys, bad actors. And there was a show on TV with, who was that guy? Remember that?
Donald Sutherland?
Yeah, Donald Sutherland. And he was the leader of this group of detectives, investigators, and all sorts of people from different walks of life from all over, all over the world. And it was called Crossing Lines. And what they did was they went after criminals that were marked by the International Criminal Court to be tried for war crimes. And it was a good show. Now, in 1998, Bill Clinton signed the Treaty of Rome, which established the International Criminal Court. But then he never sent it to the Senate to be ratified. So the United States is a signatory, but has never actually implemented the Treaty of Rome. Now, the United Kingdom, Canada, Mexico, all of South America, most of Western Europe, and and a lot of other countries. In fact, like 75% of the countries of the world have signed and implemented the Treaty of Rome, which established the International Criminal Court. But the United States hasn't. And the reason it hasn't is because under the Bush administration, George Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and John Bolton and all these other people were afraid of getting crimes for starting a war in Iraq based on false pretenses. And there was a subpoena I forget what they call it, but they did charge Dick Cheney under the International Criminal Court. So he's kind of screwed because he can't go overseas. He can't go to Europe because he'll be arrested for war crimes. Simple as that. That's just the way it works. Now, these two men, the center of this thing is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. I'm going to try because I'm not good with Arabic. So Sharqai Al-Haj and Guled Hassan Duran were arrested right after 9/11 in Afghanistan and as suspected Al-Qaeda and shipped to, they were tortured at a black op site and then shipped to Guantanamo, where they spent a decade in Guantanamo, locked up and waterboarded and tortured and put in standing positions, loud music blasting at them, and throwing cold water on them, running on the air conditioner and while they stood naked and crazy poses in order to, it's called stress torture, I think, something like that. And and being waterboarded and everything else. And so they were held in what they call proxy detention and tormented and tortured. And these two men went to the International Criminal Court after they were released by the United States, but not so much as even a settlement or anything. They were never charged. The United States finally realized that these guys weren't terrorists, and they just let them go. Yeah, one time a Canadian was arrested Guantanamo, and he originally came from a country in the Middle East, and he was arrested and he was sent to Guantanamo, and he sued the United States and won something like $10 million, and he was in there for a couple of years in Guantanamo. So the United States isn't blameless at all. And we all know what happened to Guantanamo. And this is a stain on the reputation of the United States. And the United States said Monday that it would refuse to cooperate in any way with the International Criminal Court in The Hague if it carried out a prospective investigation into allegations of war crimes by U.S. military and intelligence personnel in Afghanistan. National Security Advisor John Bolton told the Conservative Federalist Society in Washington that the court should not have jurisdiction over Americans or people from other nations that never ratified the treaty that created the court in 2002. At the same time, it wasn't 2002, it was 1998. That they came out with the Treaty of Rome. Okay, maybe the International Criminal Court was established in 2002. At the same time, Bolton announced that the U.S. State Department is shutting down Palestinian Liberation Organization office in Washington in response to Palestinian efforts to have the court prosecute Israeli actions, and because the Palestinians have rejected direct negotiations with the Jewish state on a peace treaty. And the reason that they rejected negotiations is because Israel is demanding a one-state solution. And the Palestinians want a two-state solution. They want their own country. And who can blame them? You know, they were there first. I don't care how many times the Jewish people say, oh, we were here 3,000 years ago. Well, you know what? So are the 3,000 years ago, too. But they can't have all their land back because that's just not the way it works. Okay? The Palestinians were there all the way up until 1949. So it's a little different story there. And there's still a lot of them. So Israel took all their territory. The least that country could do is give some of it back. That's the way I feel about it. Anyway, that's what's going on here. Let me check my switchboard. Nobody's calling in because probably nobody's listening, except that one lady. And like I said, the number again is 516-453-9450. Now, what John Bolton wants to do is he wants to put sanctions on the judges in the criminal courts and he wants to freeze her, any assets they have in the United States or any banking transactions with a U.S. bank. And that's what he wants to do. Now, that was really, you know, it's bad enough that we do the things that we do, like destroy Libya and be at war in Afghanistan with no clear-cut reason for 17 years. It's just preposterous that we put sanctions on judges of the International Criminal Court. But the thing is if they do decide that these two guys have a case and that they were tortured in Guantanamo, then they can put arrest warrants out containing George W. Bush. I'll put another arrest warrant out for Dick Cheney, George W. Bush, and a whole bunch of different CIA agents and U.S. military personnel that actually participated in these two guys being jailed and sent to Guantanamo and being tortured. Now, it's really bad when you think of the United States as being a country that tortures people. All my life, I was taught that the bad countries tortured people, that evil countries tortured people, that the United States doesn't torture. But we do, and we know we do. And it supposedly is supposed to have stopped, but I'm kind of leery about whether it really stopped or not. Now, before you think that I am some kind of left-wing anarchist or something like that, let me tell you something about it. I spent 20 years in the United States Army. I am retired from the United States Army. All right, I've received a bunch of medals, Army Achievement Medals, all sorts of medals, Army Commendation Medal. I served under NATO, and I served in Germany, Korea, Texas, you name it, New Jersey, Rhode Island, all over. And I worked with nuclear weapons. I had a top secret clearance. So I'm not some left-wing nut that sits in his mother's garage railing about the way the system is, okay? I'm 67 years old, I'm retired, and I live in South Carolina. So that's who I am. But I'm from New York, and I get along with people in South Carolina just fine. So that's who I am. And I listen to a lot of opinions from people in South Carolina, and believe me, they are not like my opinions, okay? It's just two different cultures. And I accept that I'm living in a red state when I'm way, way to the left, all right? And I'm to the left because I know what the Army did to me. And they eventually, you know, I know what the Army can do. I know what the government can do. And I know what they did in the build-up to the Iraq War. I knew. I was calling them on bullshit. And I knew it was bullshit. And it turned out to be bullshit. So we went to war and killed over 1 million Iraqis and 5,000 Americans on bullshit. And how many Americans with PTSD and committed suicide, and how we littered that country with babies being deformed in Iraq constantly. And what we did was a war crime. And somebody should pay. And that's why I'm interested in this International Criminal Court. It's a long time coming. That's the way I feel about it. We shouldn't have gone to war in Iraq in the first place. And we shouldn't have destroyed Libya. So that's on Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. You know the old saying, we came, we saw, he died. That's Hillary Clinton. And then they wonder why Donald Trump got elected president. Because he ran against Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton thought that they propped up Donald Trump because they thought he was a target. And Hillary Clinton wanted to run against Donald Trump because she thought she would be assured to win. But what happened was she was such a bad candidate that everybody went to Donald Trump because they couldn't stand Hillary Clinton. She was less liked than Donald Trump, and that's pretty hard to believe. But that's the way it went. And I was glad in a way that I was glad she didn't become president because we would have been in a war by now. So not to say we probably won't get into one. Donald Trump is mercurial. He goes off on tangents. And I wouldn't be surprised if we ended up in a war over this stuff. Just for a distraction. So people forget about all the things that he's done. It was an article that I wrote yesterday. And it was on Op-Ed News and a few other websites. And this is called Why NATO is Good for the United States. And let me tell you something. I don't like NATO. I always thought that it was worthless because the Soviet Union isn't here anymore. Okay, I'm going to read the article. When the Soviet Union imploded, I, like many others, thought that NATO was unnecessary and obsolete. When I saw the United States allow former members of the Warsaw Pact accepted into NATO, I, like so many other Americans, believe that the United States had reneged on its promise not to step one foot more towards the East. For many years, I questioned the validity of having NATO in the first place, especially because the Soviet threat was gone and the Russian Federation was no longer operating under communism. When Donald Trump questioned the existence of NATO and suggested that NATO was an outmoded idea, I thought that was one good idea Donald Trump had. With our defense budget consuming 55% of our total discretionary spending, higher than the defense budget during World War II, adjusting for inflation, I thought that maybe pulling out of NATO and shutting it down was a good idea. This week, upended so many of our political beliefs. Everything I thought about the world was colored by my faith in a rock-solid American government. I also believe that many governments around the world were stable as our American government. This doesn't agree with my government. In fact, I have not agreed with the foreign policy that this country has followed since 1970. I realized we were lied into the Vietnam War, that we were lied about the reasons we went to war in Iraq. Our government is capable of destroying itself. This week, I learned how fragile our government can be. When people are talking seriously about invoking the 25th Amendment, removing Donald Trump, I wonder how fragile other governments around the world are. I especially wonder about the governments on the European continent. We have Germany handed over its democracy to a far-right nationalist, national socialist dictator. I can see our country on the precipice of doing something similar. With everything coming apart at the seams, I can see Donald Trump trying to hold things together by stopping all the investigations and trying to shut down all the media outlets. All the events of the last few weeks have made me believe that all governments change and morph into different forms than what they were when they started. This leads me back to my thoughts about NATO. I believe one of the reasons we haven't had another world war is because most of the European states belong to the same defense alliance, with the stipulation that an attack on one country which is Article 5, is an attack of all on all of NATO, it would be hard for Germany to attack France or vice versa. I think that NATO was formed to keep the European countries peaceful. I believe that NATO was formed to counter the Soviet Union, and that after the Soviet Union fell, it was a way for the United States to project power all over the world, as we did in Libya. Member nations of NATO, excluding Germany, bombed that country to oblivion and made it into a failed state that actually engages in human slavery. I realize now that NATO does indeed serve a purpose, although I don't believe it is a purpose that the American government had in mind. I believe that NATO is far too large for weapons and spends an inordinate amount of money, and that these things could all be trimmed back. This would allow our nation and other nations within NATO to use that money for the benefit of their people. The United States is in a difficult time, and we Americans, as American citizens, need to be paying attention and actively participate in the decisions that will come in the coming weeks and months. Assuming Trump survives until the elections, the American people must make it known through the ballot box that we do not approve of his personal conduct or the way he runs his administration. The Chinese curse that says, may you live in interesting times. We are indeed living in interesting times. So that's my take on NATO. I completely changed my mind, and it happened when I was walking with my wife to the store. And we talk about things, but in the world, and all of a sudden I started saying, you know, in a way NATO is good because, it stops people from you know, they're all in the same alliance, and it kind of stops them from going to war. And my wife said, yeah, you know, maybe NATO is a good thing for the United States. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that that's probably why Germany or France or some, or Albania or some country hasn't attacked another country and caused a chain reaction, just like World War I and World War II. And, you know, there's not all these underhanded secret alliances going on. Everybody belongs to the same alliance. This is one reason Turkey doesn't start shooting at the United States, because we all belong to NATO. If they started shooting at the United States, all the NATO countries would start shooting at Turkey. Turkey's a member of NATO. If we attacked Turkey, all the NATO countries would attack us. So really, it's stopping a war between us and Turkey, and things are not going good between us and Turkey, especially in the Middle East, where we have, you know, weapons trained on each other, and we're supporting different factions in this Syrian business, which we really have no business being in. But that's a conversation for another time. Okay, the guest calling number is 516-453-9450. That's 516-453-9450. If you want to call in and state your views or tell me I'm full of shit or whatever it is, I'd like to hear from you. And if you like what I have to say, don't forget to send this podcast to a friend and let him hear something that maybe he never thought about or she never thought about. And because I never thought about it. That's why I wrote the article. I never thought about it. I was always against NATO. And all of a sudden, one day, the light bulb went off in my head. And I said to myself, self, I says, yeah, maybe it costs a lot of money, though. Maybe our budget shouldn't be going to the military. When you figure for Social Security, that only takes like 6-8%. You know, healthcare takes about 10%. All of this, the EPA takes about 4-5%. And they want to cut all these things so they can give another $80 billion to the military. And the military, in the last couple of years, has lost over $7 trillion they can't account for. You know, it's like throwing good money at, you know, they keep losing money. They can't account for their money. They had an audit from their own people, and they admitted they can't account for something like $7 trillion. That is a lot of money. That's trillion with a T. And you can look it up. Look at the Defense Department audit. Just Google that and see how much money that they lost. Now, you know what's really amazing is that we can everybody instantly. When somebody says something, all we got to do is Google it and see if they're full of shit or not. You know, it's like the first time in the world that everybody had a super fast library sitting right in their lap. You know, this is the first time in history, our history anyway, that we've had information that within the touch of our fingers that we can see immediately if somebody's full of shit. And that's when you think about it, that's really amazing. Because people used to be able to bullshit people and make them think their way and make them believe things that just weren't true. And they did this for decades. They did this. You know, governments have done it constantly since governments were ever invented. They've told people lies and made distortions, and the people didn't know because they had no way of knowing whether or not what it was true. If you want to call in, let me say this again: 516-453-9450. That's 516-453-9450. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. They had no way of knowing whether the government was telling the truth or not. And now, in 2018, we know if somebody's lying to us. What we got to do is fact check them. And we can fact check them within a couple minutes and find out if what they're saying is complete hogwash and bullshit. So that's amazing. You know, that is really amazing. And that is something like all these millennials and the generation before them, I don't know what they call them, that generation, but these young people, you know, under the age of, say, 20, they are so good with these electronic devices because they grew up with them. They grew up with them in their hands. I've seen babies. I've seen year-old babies swipe an iPhone or Android phone to see cartoons. If that isn't amazing, and I'm sure you've seen it too, they know how to work a cell phone. It's amazing, and it's second nature. So when you tell somebody something, it takes them, they could walk around the corner talking into the microphone on a cell phone, Google a question, and find out whether you're full of shit or not. Come around the corner and say, you know what, mister, you're full of shit. That didn't happen. Here, look. And they'll show it to you. And that's why people are just ignoring the government. It isn't that people don't care or they're distracted. They're not. Not these young people. They're not distracted. They're disgusted, okay? They're disgusted. And these people are the future. These young people are the future. Some of them are turning 18, 21. They can vote. They can vote. And they're going to vote. And they think it's going to be a blue wave. It's not only going to be a blue wave. It's going to be a progressive wave. Now, all these things that people don't like segregating people and making people and black people and Colin Kaepernick and all this other kind of stuff, it's not going to stand for it. They're not going to stand for it at all. At all. It's like Serena Williams. She got mad at the umpire and started screaming at him. And she got fined like $17,000. How many times have you seen McAvoy and all these other people start screaming at the judges and nothing happens to them? They didn't even do it. They did it more than Williams did. But when Serena Williams does it, she gets fined $17,000. And meanwhile, other tennis stars are saying that's the worst umpire they ever saw in their life. And she gets fined $17,000 because she's a woman. People are not going to stand for that anymore. They're not going to stand for it. And these young people are on the ball. I talk to them. I talk to them all the time. They're on the ball. They know what's happening, and they understand. And you see a lot of young people that are totally oblivious to anything. But then again, you see a lot of young people that are smart and they know what's going on. And this is something that the United States has to deal with, is an educated and well-informed population. And they're afraid of that. The government's afraid. All governments are afraid of that. Not just our government. All governments. Except progressive governments that give people a lot of latitude and don't break the law constantly or don't invade other countries like we do. We're involved in 7 wars right now. 7. And how did it get like this? How did we get involved with never-ending war? From the time we invaded Iraq, in fact, from the time I've been born, the United States has been involved militarily in some country or another constantly. And I'm 67 years old. Constantly. We're always in a war somewhere. Somewhere. We're always in a war. We're always sticking our nose where it doesn't belong. You know, and people die and nobody seems to care. And now we have an army, and I know a lot about the army. We have an army that's, there's no draft. It's an all-volunteer army. And the people who are volunteering, especially in the economy now, because there's a lot of jobs out there, the people that are volunteering for the army are people that need to pay for college or people that are so dumb they can't get a job. And this is the kind of people that are coming in the army. They've lowered their standards. And they've given a lot of waivers to a lot of people that normally wouldn't get into the army. And this is not a good thing. It's not a good thing. The kind of people who are getting in the army is not the cream of the crop. Okay? It's not the cream of the crop. And let me tell you, if they did restore the draft, these wars would end like yesterday, because people would not put up with their sons and daughters going to war, and they had no choice in the matter. They wouldn't put up with it. There'd be a revolution. So you wonder why there was a big revolution about the Vietnam War. It's because everybody had the chance of going over there and getting killed. And then when they ended the draft, all of a sudden all the protests died. Yeah, it was amazing. I didn't think it was, you know, all that stuff, even though I was in the army. And I never thought that they just cared about getting drafted and getting killed. I thought they really cared about peace and whether the United States was right or wrong, but it seems like most people in the 60s were out for themselves. As soon as the draft ended, they all joined up and joined the human race. You know, they all put on suits and ties and acted like the man. And that was pretty disheartening. And all of a sudden, there were no more hippies. There was no more peace, love, or anything. It was gone. No draft, no pushback. Now there's a pushback because we got 10. Donald Trump's been good for this country. If you want to call in, we got, how long we got left? I got 13 minutes left. If you want to call in, the number is 516-453-9450. That's 516-453-9450. I wrote another article, it was a couple of weeks ago, and I said, Donald Trump's been good for America. And I'm sure a lot of people read that article saying, what? Tim Gatto was saying, Donald Trump's good for America? What? Is he drinking or what? You know? And the reason Donald Trump's good for America is because so many people are afraid of him just blowing this country up that everybody's starting to pay attention. And that didn't happen during Barack Obama's tenure. It happened under Bush for a while. People were paying attention to what he was doing, especially near the end of his presidency. After they saw they were about Iraq, and they saw it blow up Libya. That was under Barack Obama's watch. But Barack Obama was a Democrat, and he was supposedly a progressive, which he wasn't. He was a central, middle-of-the-road centrist, worked for the corporations that paid for his campaign financing. Let me tell you something about Barack Obama. I used to write for Democratic Underground, Daily Coast, a whole bunch of websites. I mean, when I wrote an article, I had 10 different editors. And my articles were being published everywhere. And all of a sudden, I went to a website called Center for Responsive Politics. And they have a website called OpenSecrets.org. Remember that, OpenSecrets.org. If you go to OpenSecrets.org, you can find out who donated money to who in any election you want to know about. So what I did was I looked up to see about President Obama. Now, Obama was running around telling everybody he wouldn't take corporate donations. Now, this was around late September of 2008. And so I looked it up. And I found so many corporations that had donated to Obama's campaign that I wrote an article and I said, Obama doesn't take corporate donations? And then I said, he's a liar. And let me tell you, it was like I farted in a room, you know, full of housewives. It was unbelievable. I got kicked off every single website that I was writing for. Democratic Underground. I was kicked off almost every single website except for Information Clearinghouse and the Smirking Chip. It was amazing. And People's Voice and Media with a Conscience. Everybody else, Center for American Progress, Democratic Underground, Daily Coast, all of these people kicked me off. Said, don't submit anymore. We don't want you on our site. You know, pulled my membership. I couldn't log on. It was unbelievable. And then after a couple of years, and by 2 or 3 years, they all started asking me back because they realized that I was right and they were wrong. But the pushback that I got because I questioned Barack Obama. And at that time, he was Saint Barack Obama. He was the guy that went almost 1 million people in the streets listening to what he said. I mean, this guy walked on water in 2008. They thought he was going to change the world. He was the Elvis Presley of politics. And then they found out that he was just as bad as everybody else. Now, this is a smooth-talking, intellectual, you know, I don't know what you call him, troll. Because he ended up being a center-right corporate politician, did the bidding of the military-industrial complex. And he also had drone strikes that used to bomb wedding parties and kill people. Somebody, I'm good at killing people. I mean, is that something to be proud of? You know, this is a guy that talked peace and love and everything else, and he was going to change the world. Well, he didn't change the world. He was a liar. He was a liar then. He's a liar now. But if people would have known he was a liar and he was a corporate right-wing Democrat when he went in, they would have been watching him. But people are watching Donald Trump because they know what he is. This guy is a shyster. He's a con man. And we all know it. So we're all watching like hell. And he's doing things and saying things about women and Latinos and black people. And, he's courting the old. Everybody knows what he's doing. He doesn't believe in anything. All he believes in is Donald Trump. This guy is a narcissist. And all he thinks about is himself. That's all he thinks about. And whether or not people are talking about him and whether they think he's a great guy. Well, you know what? People don't think he's a great guy. You know, and I don't think he's a great guy. I think he's a buffoon. You know, he's a jerk. So everybody's watching him. And this is good for America because it finally made everybody wake up and pay attention. That's what we haven't been doing. We haven't been paying attention since the end of World War II. We just haven't been paying attention. And that's what made America shit. Make America great again. Well, America's shit now. You know, that's all there is to it. It can be great again, but we have to make it great again. You know, it's just the richest country in the world. If this is the richest country in the world, and it is, believe me, if you look at our gross national product compared to the rest of the world, we're pretty rich. How come 40% of the people in the United States are living below the poverty level? Something's wrong. Something's really wrong. You know, how come 20% of the people are living below the international poverty level? In other words, they're making less than $2 a day. How can that be in the richest country in the world? You know, and it's what Bernie Sanders says. 0.1% owns more than the next 40% of Americans. 10% of the top earners, the top richest people in America, own more than the other 90%. Look, you don't have to be a mathematical genius to know that our productivity's gone up and our wages have remained stagnant or went down. You know, and everybody's making more money, and meanwhile, the people who are doing the work, they're not seeing it. They're just not seeing it. And that's what's making everybody wake up. So, you know, I hope that you listen to this podcast and you send it around, and I'm going to be back, I guess, what's today, Monday? I'll be back next Monday, 8 o'clock, and I'll have another show for you, and we'll talk about something else. And if something else pops up, now that I got everything all, got all the bugs worked out, let me tell you, I had 4 strokes, and I have a hard time typing because the keyboard is a little screwed up for me. And I have a hard time typing, even though I've written so many articles and books. Now I'm kind of handicapped. And it was hard. I have Dragon. I speak into Dragon. And then I edit it, and I use that to write articles. And on if you use Dragon, you can't use it on Blog Talk Radio. You can't make your shows on Dragon because you won't be able to create the show. You'll hit the button, hit the button, hit the button. It won't work. You have to type the show out. That's the way it is. For anybody that uses Dragon on Blog Talk Radio. Okay, so anyway, we have got how much time do we have left? We have, 2 minutes and 35 seconds. 2 minutes and 35 seconds. It's kind of late to get any calls, and I doubt there's too many people listening to me because I didn't advertise this show. I put it on Facebook and Twitter. I don't know how many people are listening, but if you're listening, I hope you enjoyed the show, and I'll be back, and I've done this a lot. So I know what I'm doing once I get the bugs worked out. And like I said, if something pops up during the week, I'll run a show if I want to talk about it. You know, especially if I write an article. So that's it for me. This is, you've been listening to Tim Gatto, unedited and uncut on Blog Talk Radio. So, I'm just saying that I'm glad that you were with me. I'm glad if you're downloading this podcast. I appreciate it. And if you like it, share it with your friends. And that's it for me today. And, just remember to leave the world in better shape than when you found it. All right. So that's it for me. And, I guess I'll say goodbye.